Let us then turn to the Lord again once more. Our gracious God, we thank Thee that Thy word tells us of Thy love, and yet it cost Thee a great deal, even the life of Thy Son, to demonstrate that love to us. We pray that we might understand something of it, something deeper of the love of Christ to our souls this evening. Help us to take it in, and may we receive the Savior and give ourselves wholly to Him, yield our lives to Him in totality. We pray for Thy help then in all of these things, to both hear, preach, and receive the Savior. For Christ's sake. Amen. Friends, this evening I want to take up as my text verse 32 of Romans chapter 8. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This passage could be broken up into some sections, some headings. First, we could think about that God did not spare His own Son. And then we could think about God delivered Him up for us all. And then we could think about the grace of God in blessing us as we seek Him, His grace that He gives to believing sinners. Friends, the Bible is the final word of God to man. It tells us who we are by nature. It tells us who God is. It tells us of God's will. It tells us of the way of peace and the way of forgiveness and salvation and how to find eternal life. It speaks about holiness, and it ultimately speaks about a safe arrival in God's heaven. Now, in this passage that we have read together, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, we have God telling us something which is sublime, wonderful, and comforting, and reassuring. And it is this consideration. He, meaning God, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Could anything more perfectly tell us about the love of God than this? Could any statement in the world be more perfectly reassure us that God is interested in us, in all of us? Because this verse tells us about this, that God delivered up His own Son, Jesus Christ, for us all. There's not one sitting here who can say, well, that's not for me. No one can say that. If you trust Him, believe Him, you can take Him as yours. Christ has been given by God, His Father, to us all. All those who would believe Him, for everyone who wants Him, for everyone who seeks Him, Christ is theirs. For everyone who knows their need of Him. So let us look at this wonderful verse, this wonderful statement, so full as it is of the love of God. Do you know the love of God? Have you experienced the love of God? Not simply a feeling, but truly, that state that I know I am loved by the Lord. I know I have a Savior, Jesus Christ. This is such an encouragement to those who are needy. Those men and women like ourselves. This is a passage full of persuasion about God. How He cares for us. How He will give us all things, what we need. Well, let's think about it. The first thing, as I said, I want us to think about, God did not spare his own son. What a statement that is. He that spared not his own son. Think about it. It's easily read, but it is full of deep things. God spared not. God did not spare his own son. That's something amazing. Here we are talking about something which really did happen. This now is history. This what we are reading is something part of history that God did give up and God did not spare his son. We read in the Gospels how that took place. We read in the Gospels how God gave his son. God sent his son into this world and he delivered him up. For all that is in, that's all in history. We're not talking about something which is a myth or a legend or something that people have simply said in the past and no one knows for sure. We are not talking about that. We are not talking about a mere story. No. Sometimes we talk about the Bible story, but it's never a story like children read in a children's storybook, that things that are not real. But this is real. This is history. We are talking about something that belongs to real history. These persons who are associated with the delivering of Jesus Christ are real historical people. You read the Gospels, you read the ending of the Gospels, and you see how Jesus Christ was delivered up by individuals, different men, different people. Even the unbelieving historians are convinced that there was a man called Herod. They are very clear. The evidence is there that there was a Pontius Pilate that really did live. And there is overwhelming certainty as to the fact to even the secular historians that Jesus Christ of Nazareth did actually exist and lived and died and so on. From secular history, let alone, of course, the Bible has a full description of it. And there's a witness, an account of so many people to whom the Lord Jesus Christ appeared. And so we are told, what we are told here is a fact of history. It's a fact of history which is a blessing to us. It's transformed people, transformed lives. My friends, no story has ever transformed people's lives. No story of someone has ever really done anything real in us. Yes, it might have helped us. It might have done something for a short time, but to transform a person's life, you need reality. You need something that is real, something that is from above. He delivered him, says Paul. God delivered him for our sakes. And this brings comfort to us. For me, Jesus Christ was given, was delivered up. To know that God is so generous. God is kind. God is loving to our world. Let no sinner suppose that God is mean. No, people are mean. People are so mean that they wouldn't receive God's gift that is freely given. But God is not a beggarly God who will not open his pocket, as it were, and his purse to give to us freely his own son. The wonderful things, the things that we ask of him, the Lord answers prayer. One of the greatest things that God answers is when a humbled soul calls out to him for salvation. God never turns anyone away. He never, when a sinner is repenting of sin, is calling upon God in desperation, Lord, I am lost. Save me. Peter, when he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help me. Save me. The Lord saved him. So we should never suppose that God is at all mean. When you have words like this, this shows us how generous, infinitely generous God is. There are no boundaries. No one more so than he is generous. And that's what we are told here. God did not spare his own son. Now it's all too easy to read over those words without really remembering what they say and what they mean. Imagine, young people, boys and girls, you just imagine someone, a lady who's just got married, and for a year or two, she has been provided for a house and various things that she needs, and maybe a car or something like that. All of these things, brand new. And then they find out that she's pregnant. And then she has a baby. But then, soon after the baby arrives, someone comes knocking on the door. I've heard you've got a new baby. How much will you take to give that child to me? How much? Well, the woman would think, what's this man getting at? Why does he want my child for a price? And she would say, well, I could sell you my car. You can give me that amount of money. I could sell you my car. I could sell you my house. But my child? You can't put a price on the child. No, never. You wouldn't sell. Well, maybe you might think you want to give them away at times. But you never would sell your children. You never would sell your baby. No, no one would do such a thing in their right mind. But my friends, think about this. This is the thing that is so out of this world, because it is. God of heaven has not spared his only begotten son to the world. God gave his own beloved son to us and for us. God gave him up. Indeed, for us, God, whose son was infinitely more precious than any one of us, was given. And how infinitely precious his son was to the Father. The Father delivered his own son to death so that we might be forgiven, that we might be spared. God did not spare his own son. What a thing that is. I remember reading some time ago of the fact that so many years ago, about 200 years ago, in Germany, or the region where it is now Germany, there was a very poor family. And this poor family, they had four sons. And they were starving to death. They had no means. There was famine in that part of Germany. And so they decided, even though they didn't want to, that they have to sell one of the children. So, as a servant to some other rich family. And so the parents, the day came. They thought, we have to do something or we will all starve to death. And the day came. And they went and explained the situation to the children. And said, we have to do something. One of you has to be sold. And so the parents came to the firstborn son. And they thought, should we sell him? He's our firstborn. He was the first one that was born. So no, we can't sell him. And so they went to the next one. Oh, maybe we can sell the second one. They couldn't. And they found some other excuse. I can't remember what it was. That they said, no, we can't sell this one because of this. And then, oh yes, it was because he looked like his dad, they said. This one looks like the father. The third one looked like the mother. And then the last one, they said, we can't sell him because he is the son of our old age. And so they couldn't do anything. And they had to say, we must pray to God. We must pray to God. And so the Lord worked in them through this famine. And so they sought the Lord and found the Lord. And they couldn't sell their children. No one could, my friends. We're all the same. None of us would sell our children. For anything, for any amount of money. Yet even God, who loved his own son infinitely, was prepared to deliver up his own son's soul for us in this way. What an amazing thing that is. He gave him up. He sent him. He delivered him. Can you really imagine it? My friends, does not this prove the love of God? You say, well, where is God? I want to know the love of God. I remember some time ago, a man said to me, well, if you show me that God exists, and if God comes down to this world and shows himself, then I will believe. I said, but God has come down. What did men do to him? They nailed him to the cross. That's what happened when he came, when he revealed himself, showed himself. He said, I am God. God manifest in the flesh. He healed the sick. He fed those many thousands of people. What did they do to him? They put him on a cross. But then when God shows his love, what do people do now? When he answers prayer, when he blesses us with so many good things every day, what do? So many lips are unthankful. So many hearts don't care. There is no thought in our minds about God in our day-to-day lives. Think about it. Look at the words of this text. He that spared not his own son. Just think about it. What does it mean? What does it mean? Do I really understand it? How did God not spare his own son? To what did God give him up? There are a number of things we could think. One of the first things that we could think is that God gave up his son to the misery of having to live here for 33 and so years in this world. Did you ever think of it like this? That God had to give up his son to come into this world? Think about it. Some of you say, well, I won't send my son to so-and-so's house. I won't send my children to play with that neighbor's children, and so on. And actually, when you begin to look and hear, those children are no better than your children. And yet you are careful about these things because you love your children and you want to protect them and so on. But you think about what it means that God did not spare his own son. In one sense, it is that the fact that he sent his son into this world. The difference between Jesus Christ on the one hand and all of his people on the other hand. You think about it. Take Noah. Take Abraham. Take Enoch. All of these great men of God. What happened to them? What does the Bible say about them? Think of it like this. They all left this world and they all went to heaven where they are now. And so they turned their back from this world. They're not going to come back. They don't want to come back. They have been in this world and they leave. Which one of them would say, oh, I actually want to go back? Oh, the ones who want to come back are those who are in hell. You remember rich man and Lazarus? He wanted to come back to warn his family, but there is no way out. There's no way out. There are many roads that leads to hell, but there is no road that comes out. But there was a road made. There was a way made from heaven to earth. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came and he knew the glories of heaven. He knew the worship of angels and saints and all of those things. He knew the perfect happiness and joy and the holiness and perfections of heaven. And yet he came. No one had ever been in heaven and left it except Jesus Christ to come to this world. Think about it. Jesus Christ did that. God the Father spared not his son. He knew that place which he was perfectly happy in heaven, knowing what he would come to. Having known all of that, God did not spare him the experience of coming down in our midst into this world. Would they receive him? Would he come amongst the people that were happy to take him? No. He came unto his own, the Bible says, and his own received him not. We have to move on. But another thing to think about as you consider these words, he that spared not his own son, what does that mean? God did not spare him the persecution and the hatred and the cruelty of men. That's what it means. He was the object of everybody's spite, everyone's jealousy. As soon as he was born, King Herod sent soldiers to kill him. As soon as he began preaching his first sermon in Nazareth, the people of his village rushed him to the edge of a cliff to dash him to death. That's what they did. Hardly he had been baptized and begun his work as a preacher that they said, he has a devil. He has a devil. They insulted him by calling him all kinds of names. And said that he was a Samaritan. That he is actually a demon-possessed man. They couldn't think of enough nasty and blasphemous things to say about him. To such a thing, the Father sent his Son. Spared not his Son even to hear and experience such cruelty by the hands of men. But another thing that we would think about it, God did not spare the Lord Jesus Christ the cross, his cross. Now, the cross is a word that we often talk about. It is something that sometimes it is painted or made in church buildings and so on. And these things are done. You have seen pictures of a cross. Some people wear it as a piece of jewelry. But a cross, think about it. It is like a gallows. A cross is a place of horror. It's a place of pain and torture and misery and death. And God the Father did not spare Jesus, but delivered him up even to the cross, to that place of shame when he was stripped of all his clothes and nailed to it. All the shame of it. They called him Jesus of Nazareth. They placed him on that place of shame above his cross as he was suffering for us. There was this inscription written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Of course, the Jews didn't like that. And so they said and asked Pontius Pilate, don't say that and don't call him King of the Jews, but that he said that he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate responded in this strange manner, what I have written, I have written. But they called him that. Such a mocking thing. But we rejoice in that. Jesus of Nazareth is the King of the Jews. But God did not spare him all that suffering of shame to which people poured their wrath upon him as well, and their anger and their blasphemies. You think about all the pain that he suffered upon the cross. And to that we must add then his death. His final death itself. God did not spare him the experience of death. And such a death, such a slow death, lingering kind. You would rather die a quick death, wouldn't you? There would be nobody here would say, I just want to die slowly, gradually, over weeks and months, and feel the pain. And for it become worse and worse and worse. We wouldn't want to have that. We want something that is quick. We want it to be just, we shut our eyes, we go to sleep, and then we awake in heaven. That's the kind of death I would want, if I'm honest with you. But what about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Those hours that he was upon that cross. It's not something that any one of us would choose. But this is the very thing that our Lord and Savior was delivered over by his Father. He tasted death, the Bible says, for every man. I do believe that, my friends. Is this what you believe? Is he the one you have trusted? Be honest about it. As you sit there, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for us? Do you put your trust in what he has done, in his death? Do you realize the love of God in giving of this unspeakable gift? You cannot say enough about this gift. Sometimes at birthdays, children will go on and on and on about this thing that somebody has bought for them. But after a month, they wouldn't talk about it at all. It's now shut away in a cupboard somewhere. It's broken up. But what about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was given for us? God did not spare him. He gave him for us. Does he mean anything to you personally? Or is it just something that you hear now, and then soon it's gone? This message will be gone out of your mind tomorrow morning, or even in a couple of hours. Maybe there are those who you're not really thinking about these things. And you have had sermons preached to you. You have been here. And you come maybe week after week. You come to both services. I'm thinking about you boys and girls, children. You come. What do you think about these things? I really would want to know. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Has he saved you? Do you trust him? Do you believe him? If the love of God in giving his son to death in this fashion that we've described means nothing to you, then and it makes no difference to your life, then it is clear that we are not saved. We are not converted. How terrible! If God should not spare his own son for us, and you and I not be concerned, and for it not to make any difference for us. Now let us move on then, very quickly. God delivered him up for us all. That's the second thing. God delivered him up for us all. That's the thing we need to notice. It's a great truth of this text. Not only it's said that God did not spare him, but that God delivered him up for our sake. Delivered him up for us all. Who was it that put Jesus Christ on the cross? Oh, you might say, well, I know. It was Judas Iscariot. It was Judas Iscariot who betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. It was Judas. And then somebody else would say, no, it wasn't Judas. Really? He just pointed the finger at him. He just kissed him and said, this is the man. He didn't deliver him. Oh, I know who that was. It was Pontius Pilate. He weakly gave in and allowed them to scourge him, and then the nail to put him with the nails upon the cross. And then someone would say, well, no, it wasn't actually literally Pontius Pilate. It was the soldiers. The soldiers took him. The soldiers put him on the cross. Others might say, no, actually, it wasn't that. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the ones who stirred up the people and said, crucify him, crucify him. And we could go on. And all of those things in their own way would be true. But my friends, when all is said and done, it was God who put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. God delivered him up for us all. That's what the Apostle Paul is driving at. These lesser creatures, these men, these mortals, they were but playing their little miserable part. The great and the glorious gift of a crucified Redeemer was the work of God. God the Father delivered up his son. Like Abraham of old, who took Isaac in his hand and was to sacrifice him, God the Father actually did sacrifice his son. God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And that was his eternal will. It was his purpose. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew all of that. He spoke to the disciples about that, and they were upset about it. No, not you, Lord. God delivered him up for us all. Think about that. Repeat that to yourself throughout the week. Say, God delivered up Jesus Christ for me? He didn't spare his son for me? It wasn't just for the Jews. For us all. All kinds of people throughout this world. Jesus Christ was delivered up for the people in England. He was delivered up for the Chinese. He was delivered up for the people in the Middle East. He was delivered up for those Indians and Africans. You think about it, wherever, whoever. It was a universal gift. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You take up this gift freely. What a wonderful thing this is. The love of God, which lay behind all that God is said to do here. God's not sparing his son, but delivering him up for us all. It's the proof that God is love. God is love. The Bible says God commendeth, or God manifests, demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or else we find these words, hearing is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave up his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so the Apostle Paul draws this wonderful picture, wonderful truth. He's arguing his case. He says, can you not think about this? Can you not see it, dear believers? Can you not see it, those of you who are lost, those who are unconverted? Can you not see it? And then what about everything else? Everything else in your life means nothing, means so little. When you think you have Jesus Christ, God has given him to you and for you. It is worth everything. You cannot measure this gift. And so all of your worries, all of your concerns, what are they in comparison to this? If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. And if you have Jesus Christ, you can ask for anything. Anything according to God's will. Anything to be a blessing and for his glory. God has not spared his son for you. Do you think he will not give you those things that you need? Will he not give you the grace for each day? Will he not give you the help? And will he not guide you? Will he not be your shepherd for you? Will he not give you the patience that you need? Oh, yes, he will. Can you think about that, my dear believing friends? Those of you who are Christians, why do we worry then? Why are we so concerned about our tomorrows? If God has not spared his own son for us. I'm sure you know that account of Martin Luther, the great reformer, the German reformer Martin Luther. His wife noticed that he had been very depressed for days. He was cast down. Something was playing on his mind, and so she thought she would play a trick on him as well, as wives can do. And so one day, as he was sitting there, and he was so cast down, and he wouldn't talk about it, so she came down and wearing all black. And then Martin Luther looked up and said, "What's that? Why are you wearing all black?" He said, "Oh, someone's died. There is a funeral." And then he said, "Well, who is that?" "Oh, well, someone has died, someone very important has died." And she wouldn't say it to begin with, and then he had to ask questions, and she would drag it out. I said, "So who is this? Who is this person who's died?" And he says, "My darling husband, God has died. God has died." And he says, What? This is so wrong. It is blasphemy what you are saying. He says, but look at you. Look at you. A preacher of the gospel, a man of God, and you are cast down. You're filled with worries and anxieties, all of these things, as if God is not there. As if God has died. And immediately, of course, he saw the foolishness of and folly of doubting God. And so he got up, repented of his sin, and went on, knowing the Lord was with him. God is alive, my friends. And he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Have you received him, dear friends? You're saying, but I'm needing this and I'm needing that. Jesus Christ has been given. Turn to him. Believe him. And this is the thing. He gives us this grace freely. This blessing freely. To his believing sinners. The greatest thing that God can give to you so freely is salvation. That's the thing you should be most concerned about. To know him. To know his life. To know his forgiveness that he offers to you. And take that. All of your guilt. All of your sin. All of your filthiness. And say, the Lord Jesus Christ has died for me with all of these things. He knew me before I was born. And he has come for me in this world. So I freely receive this grace. I freely take him to be as mine. Grace. What a wonderful term that is. Grace. Some have said it is like God's riches at Christ's expense. And how true that is. If you will not have this gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, then what will you have in life? What will you have? What hope have you? What assurances do you have of this life? Will your works be a great comfort to you? Will the things that you possess be a great comfort to you? Will the various friends and family members really ultimately be a great comfort to you? Oh, my friends, no. None of those things truly satisfy. Think carefully. There is nothing worthwhile in this world. Nothing truly real. Things without Jesus Christ will lead to death and nothing. So I close with this. To every one of us, take this Savior as the Savior of your personal life today. If you never did so before, then step out into the world knowing Jesus Christ has been given for me. God did not even spare his own son for me. What love. What amazing grace. Well, may the Savior be yours this evening. Amen.